Okay, well, looks like our annual National Thanksgiving holiday is upon us. It's one of the more popular holidays. It's great for eating and sleeping, but the idea is giving thanks, obviously, for the many blessings. We need to consider the blessings that we have. And I guess in many ways people have their own way of kind of going over those things in their mind. But I said it's a national observance. It goes way back in the history of our country. I guess at least as far back as the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock, they had a kind of a celebration and thanking God for their survival, getting through a tough winter and, sickness and all kinds of things that afflicted them when they first came to this nation. But we also know that throughout our history, pilgrims are here in the 1600s, whatever. George Washington made a similar proclamation of Thanksgiving, and that's in the 1700s. Abraham Lincoln, same thing in the 1800s. Congress, from time to time, has issued proclamations of Thanksgiving and recognizing the benevolence of our Creator who gives good gifts, for literally the same reasons the pilgrims will recognize it. In the Bible, the Feast of Ingathering, also known as Sukkot, is a seventh-day harvest festival in the Bible that celebrates the end of the agricultural year. Sometimes known as Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of the Ingathering, I guess it says known as Feast of Booths or Feast of Tabernacles, the festival takes place at the end of the year, you see, because Pentecost is the Feast of the First Fruits in the beginning of the year in the harvest, and then we have the Feast of the Ingathering. And what it celebrates is God's provision, God's faithfulness, and God's presence. But Avni was telling me something the other day on the study that the Albanians do something similar. And it comes from even before the Ottoman Empire defeated that area and brought Islam at the point of a gun. In other words, it goes back to their Christian roots. This idea that's still celebrated by many Albanians. But really, all over the world, it seems like people have some sort of observance or recognition that there are blessings that come from a source beyond just what man can provide. It's just evidence of the existence of God, who is good. And He does provide the rain on the just and the unjust, and also the things that people need. God is good to everyone. He's good to everybody. Always has been. Now, so as this comes upon us, everyone has their traditional way anymore. I don't think there's much Thanksgiving given to God, even in our culture anymore? Not really. It's been overtaken by not only parades and everything else that could have anything you could imagine in those parades nowadays. Really? God is not centerpiece in that, nor at even what some people call a Christmas time. That is so much commercialized, it's lost its way as well. And that's unfortunate. However, that doesn't mean that that's the way people have to be, especially including us. People with understanding. People that have the faith that comes from God's word, because our faith informs us really where every good and perfect gift comes from. It comes from the Father of lights. God is good. And one of the things that Jesus tells us, that certain things that his people don't have to worry about, is what they're going to eat, drink, and put on. Because he says everybody does worry about that, but if people would only seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things would be added, because God knows what things people have need of even before they ask him. Now, in the Old Testament, which is, of course, a shadow of the New, in the Old Covenant, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it tells us that these blessings would follow people that followed him, that were faithful in the observances of what God had called them and keeping of the commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. You think of the psalm that tells us, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed you'll be in the city. Blessed you'll be in the country. Blessed you shall be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Blessed you shall be when you come in. Blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you and be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee away from you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on your storehouses and all that you set your hand, and he'll bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you, you know, the land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord will bless you as a holy people to himself, just as he sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body, increase your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land of which the Lord has swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure of the heavens to give you rain on your land and its season, to bless you in all your work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you won't borrow. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. And if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which he command you this day, and careful to observe them, so you shall turn aside from So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, not to the right hand nor to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Wow. Man, you talk about from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, everything you touch, everything you need here, man. I mean, he talks in Deuteronomy 7, you know, beautiful cities you didn't build, furnished homes, wells digged, vineyards planted. How much better could it be on earth? Every one of those blessings is temporal and conditional. I ain't going to read this, but here's what happens if you don't. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you this day, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And he goes from here to verse 64, sorry, 68, of the worst possible things you could think that could ever happen. From sickness, illnesses, disease, famine, no fruit of your womb, no fruit of your cattle, your kind, stillborn children, which you'll eat, to stay alive yourself. I mean, it goes on and on. It's horrible if you don't choose to follow. Just a heads up, I think you already know this. We do know from the history of the scripture which one they chose. They chose the curses. They chose the curses, and oh, it came to pass all right. In fact, that's how the book of Deuteronomy ends. God gives Moses a heads up. Oh, by the way, Moses, after you're gone, this is what these people are going to do. They're going to go whoring after other gods, and I'm going to bring my wrath on them, and all the curses that I told you about, it's going to happen to them. It happens all through their time of their wanderings in the wilderness. It happens to them in the book of Judges. It happens to them at the end of the book of Joshua. It happens to them. The Assyrians destroy them, absolutely wipes them off the face of the earth by 722 B.C. 10 tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom, and then the southern kingdom. The Babylonian invasion comes because they don't repent. So God tells them, well, you got it coming too. So here comes the Babylonians starting in 605, 597, and by 586, the temple's gone. It's all torn down. The walls are gone. And then he got 400 years of silence. Slowly they're trying to get back on their feet through Ezra and Nehemiah. Place is a shambles. It's a wreck. But the Persian kings that defeat the Babylonians let them go back. Most of them didn't want to go back. Stayed in Babylon. 70 years was a long time. They forgot. They didn't want to go back there. Why should we go back to that dump? It's gone. When Jesus walked the earth, there was a temple there called Herod's Temple. But by 70 AD, it was gone too, after God's people crucified him and hung him on a tree. Man, that's pretty dark. Pretty bleak. All those blessings, though, were only temporal, meaning physical. They're all things that people need. We need them to this very day. We still got to have food. 2024, we still have to have food. We still have to have clean water. We still need to have shelter, clothing. We still need doctors. Sick people need doctors, Jesus said. So we still need all that. We still need the temporal blessing. And if you have those needs met, because so many places in the world, if you looked at a globe, you know, a big wall map or something, most of the world is third world. You have vast area of the world. They don't have no electricity. They don't have nothing. Talk about going back in time. They have nothing. And I mean, they do okay in many places, you know, especially in Asia, because you can got a pretty good growing season. Usually it's, 365 days a year in a jungle. Not much else, though. But blessings, the physical we need, but spiritual are greater. Spiritual are greater. The pilgrims might have gave thanks, and they understood a whole lot more about God than just the physical food. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Because they acknowledge God. They acknowledge God's provision, God's faithfulness, God's providence, his presence, his protection. We still need that today. People need to understand where every good and perfect gift comes from. We still need to be. We are not a thankful nation, I hate to say it. We are not a thankful nation anymore. Romans chapter 1 says that people haven't become wise and become fools. And neither are they thankful. And they totally just want to give themselves over to the flesh and all that kind of stuff, which will be the ruination of any nation. And I think we've come real close. I don't know if we've dodged a bullet temporarily yet or not. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change a thing. Because what we need to understand, what we need to focus on, is what we need to be thankful for. God's people, according to Colossians chapter 3, are to be thankful. Christians need to be thankful. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us here, In verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We should be the most thankful people on the face of this entire planet. Because even though he blessed the faithful all throughout the generations, you can read in Hebrews chapter 11, all those people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 are the Old Testament righteous. They're patriarchs or during the time under the law of Moses. So it takes you all the way back to, you know, basically the Garden of Eden, all the way to Abraham and Noah. I mean, all the way back. They were righteous individuals. In fact, you're not going to find a righteous nation. You might as well just forget that idea. And winning the world for Christ isn't even a biblical idea. Jesus is the righteous judge of all the earth, and he's the one that tells us in Matthew chapter 7, there's a straight and narrow way, a straight gate, a narrow way that leads to life, and few will find it, because broad is the way, and you know, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. He said, most are going in that way. That's how this movie ends. So get that straight. God looks down from heaven, and he fashions the hearts of the individuals. Individually, even some in Sardis, he says in the book of Revelation, who weren't doing so well in Sardis, but he said, you have some in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, who will walk with me in white because they're worthy. Individuals. Individuals. But what God has given us, and one of the reasons why we should be the most thankful people on the face of this planet, is we've been blessed with something that people would not have understood, and that's every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We've been seated in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2:6, after having walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, following that spirit, the spirit who now works in sons of disobedience, where all we were doing was fulfilling the desires of our flesh, desires of our mind. We're by nature, naturally, children of wrath as others. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what we were. But because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he makes us alive in Christ. By grace we've been saved, and we should be thankful for that, for sure. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we find here it says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, present tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, we just got done when we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, like 1 through 15. If you have your food needs met, if you're basic, you know, if you've got clean water, gee whiz, when we were going to Vietnam and helping by putting in these here water wells, we were told the kids were eating out of these ditches, or drinking, I should say, out of these ditches, and they had worms. And that's true in so many countries. Man, seeing your kids drinking out of a ditch and getting all the scum on there, and they get worms and all this garbage, and everybody else had the worms too. Man alive, come on. I've been around forever, but at least I think, I always remember we had a kitchen sink, and it didn't have that stuff in it. And I'm born in 52. You know? We need clean water, food, shelter. We need all these basics. And if you have your basic needs met, you are rich in this world, because there's so many people, and they don't live too far away from you, maybe right here. They do not have their basic needs met. Kristen has taken the lead on. There's plenty of families, and like Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. There's no way you can eradicate poverty in this world for a number of very good reasons. One, God wants people to care about the poor. He wants people to care, because he already cares, but he's not the one on trial. People are. We're the ones that are supposed to care about the less fortunate in this world. Now, I'm not talking about just Christians. All human beings are made for this. All human beings fall under this very category, I guess, of created beings with a purpose, meaning. They need to discover what it is, because all human beings are going to die, and they're going to find out what they were created for the day they die, and hopefully they won't be surprised. They'll be ready. Ready. But most we just quoted there, I guess, they won't be. They won't be. Because they don't care. They don't ask. They don't receive. They don't seek, so they don't find. They don't knock, and the door ain't never open. They don't feel for God to find him. They're looking for something else. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses with every spiritual blessing. So when you think about spiritual blessings, when you think about having your basic needs met, that is a big blessing. If you got your health, I mean, there's so many of us, and even in this room, I know I struggle, you do, everybody, with health issues. It's one thing when you're younger and they're just the normal stuff, and then you start to really feel it, and you find out it ain't never going away, and you ain't getting any stronger. Every day, you just get weaker. But that's the way of all the earth. It's supposed to be expected. Said before, Isaac went blind in his old age. Was God mad at Isaac? Made him go blind? No. He was old. His eyes got dim. Elisha died of the disease he was afflicted with. Was God mad at Elisha? No. Why didn't he heal him of his disease? Because disease is a part of life down here. Apostle Paul with his thorn in the flesh, gee whiz, was God mad at him? His beatings, his shipwrecks, his perils of this, perils of that, hunger, thirst, nakedness. Was God mad at Apostle Paul? No. Comes with territory. You count it all joy when we go through these various trials. Every spiritual blessing, one spiritual blessing would be one physical blessing. How about a good spouse? How about a decent job? A job you like that pays, meets the need? Or good health, as I already said. Yeah, if you've got good health, man, that's a blessing, because so many people have chronic illness. Some people were born with disabilities in all their life. You know, like the guy born without limbs. Come on, you know. But boy, that dude's got a positive attitude. Nick somebody, I can't pronounce his name. But life without limbs, no arms, no legs. Imagine that. Are we thankful? Kind of got all the parts and pieces. If you do, be blessed. That's good. But every spiritual blessing, then he lists spiritual blessings. One, you were chosen in him, in Christ. He, God, chose us in Jesus. When? Before the foundation of the world. How intentional is that? You didn't just show up one day and God looks down, oh, surprise, another one. In the old maternity ward down there. Huh, coochie, coochie, coo, he's kind of cute. God knew you were coming a long time before. You can prove it from Scripture. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy, without blame before him in love. Think of that, a human being who could be holy, and that's to be perfected in all goodness and righteousness. Man, there's a lot of quality of life associated with that. Holy and without blame. In what? In love. I know I've struggled with it. I know many of you have too, not knowing how to be loved or how to give it. That was the most elusive thing for me. I'm talking about true love, not some Hollywood version of whatever that is. Love you, bro. You know, love you. Man, I love that stuff, man. Give me some more. You got any chocolate with that, man? Yeah, you love that. Love, I'm talking about God is love. God is light and truth, and he wants us to be a part of that with him. Talk about we ought to be thankful. The one who spoke all this into existence had us in mind to want us to be a part of it with him forever. And what we were before was walking according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind as a child of wrath. But he calls us out of that darkness and into the marvelous light. If you'll hear his voice, you can come. Predestinated us to be adopted right into his very own household. I've said this before. You guys know the story. Me and John, bro, John, are adopted by a stranger. Didn't know him. He came, met us, didn't know us either. Had kids already. Brought us out here to his place. And after, you know, he became aware of our situation where we were at Star, he asked about what happened to us, you know, when we were due to get out in June of 67. And they told him, well, they're probably going to have to stay here because they ain't got nowhere to go until they're old enough to go in the military or something. He said, well, I'll take them. But I'll guarantee you what, we have redemption now. No, to the praise of his glory, verse 6 says, which he made us accepted in the beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He's talking about the very fact that he gave his only begotten son, that Christ was put to death, crucified for us, so we could be made acceptable in the beloved through his blood. Jim Doty had a namesake. It was Jim Doty, James Doty Jr. I guarantee you he didn't have to kill him to make room for me and John to come into the house. Because I got a feeling he probably wouldn't have went that far. So I really can appreciate a verse like that. And he really wasn't a very spiritual man. But I appreciate the fact. If it wasn't for us being taken out by him, well, I guess we would have stayed at Star until we were old enough to go into service. But better to have be taken by a family. But God predestinated us to be adopted, co-heirs with Christ in his household. Now, come on, is that a blessing in the household of God himself that that's his plan? I mean, you talk about a gift that keeps giving. God did not just want to save us from our sin. Okay, all right, I forgive you. You got that? Okay, now don't be messing around. Don't be doing that no more. Sir, aye, aye, sir, yes, sir. Three bags full out the door and go right out and fall on your face. Just forgiveness of sins isn't going to do you any good. If you haven't gotten your nature changed, you're going to go right back out and do what you just did before. That's the way we're wired. That's humans. No, no, no. So with people, I don't know why they want to read right over this. In fact, this is for free. I'll give you this verse. I'm just thinking Acts 3. You know, because it says right in there that God fully intended to deliver us from the sin, not just forgive you. Verse 26, Acts 3 and 26. Peter, to you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in what way? Turning away every one of you from your iniquity. Turn you away from it. If you didn't get turned away from it, he could forgive you for what you just did, but if you haven't turned away, what are you going to do? Go do it again. And again. And again. What else would you do? We all operate on a mindset, and if the mindset isn't changed, transformed, by be renewed, it will just continuously repeat. No, but see, God didn't. It took the blood of Christ literally to be able for us to get forgiveness for those past sins and any sin afterward. Grace, His grace, as we know, is not license to sin. But grace is His space He gives us to overcome, get stronger through the new birth, milk of the Word, meat of the Word, strengthened by the Spirit, to put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Man, it's a gift that just keeps right on giving. And a gift that we received in the Holy Spirit, according to, turned my page already, but in Ephesians chapter 1. In Him you trusted, verse 13 says, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in which having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee you're going to make it. Guarantee the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Every spiritual blessing. Chosen, made holy without blame, adopted into the house, having redemption through His blood. I mean, it took that much so we could have redemption. We've been made acceptable in the Beloved, which is Jesus. And also He made abound toward us in all wisdom. He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purchased in Himself, purposed in Himself. Man, it just goes on. Those are spiritual blessings. Every single one of them is priceless. You go back and compare it to a physical blessing. We already taught, blessed is he and this and that, blessed in this, blessed in the store, blessed in the field, blessed the womb, the fruit of the cattle, your kind, the storehouse is blessed, 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 blessed. Gift. What do you do when you receive a gift? Are you thankful? The idea is you'd be thankful. Look at that list. All present tense, all now. Anyone in Christ, you know, this is what we have access to. But so many times people, they squander that. They squander it. They don't realize what they got. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm trying to wrap it up here, when He sits on the throne, Jesus tells us, He says, when the King comes in His glory and He's on the throne, He's going to be dividing sheep and goats. Verse 31, Matthew 25 and 31, the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the holy angels with Him. He sits on that throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He'll separate them from one another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He will say to the sheep on His right hand, goats on the left. And the King will say to those in His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. And the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we ever see you like that? When was you hungry and we fed you, gave you something to drink? He said, when you did it to the least of these. You know, this is what He's saying. This is what the judgment will be about. And, of course, the opposite to those on the left. Depart from me, you cursed. You didn't do any of those things. But I was thinking about that when I was reading that. You know, that's exactly what He did. You see, because we were hungry. We didn't know how hungry we were. We were starving to death. And He gave us something to eat. He gave us bread from heaven. He gave us the bread of life. We were thirsty, dying of thirst. We didn't even realize that He gave us living water to be a well springing up in us into everlasting life. Not drink of the water out of the well. You do that, you'll thirst again. Oh, no. Oh, no. He said, you come to me, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. Those blessings of the Old Testament were temporal, weren't they? Even as they are today. These blessings are not, every spiritual blessing, heavenly places, are not temporal. If you have them, you have them now forever, and they will carry you all the way. Naked. We didn't know how miserable, poor, blind, and naked we were. But he clothes us in righteousness. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love. And holiness is to be perfected in all goodness and righteousness. He clothes us. We were sick, walking according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of our mind, miserable, naked, cutting ourselves, hurting ourselves like legion, crying, hanging around with dead people. We needed a physician, and he came. And he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind. Healing he brings, to set captives free, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then to take us from our prison and adopt us into his very own house and his household, and gives us his name. When John and I were adopted, that's what came with the deal. They changed our name in the courtroom that day. We were no longer Stephen John Nelson. We were Stephen John Doty, because it was adoption. That's what God did, and he gives us a new name. Christian. We're followers of Christ. So when the king sits on his throne, that's what he's looking for. Because we have the blessed opportunity now to actually do the very same thing while we're here and thankful. Because everybody we know out there, if they're not in here, that's where they're at. They're out there starving to death, dying of thirst. They're naked out there, exposed, and dying. Then we need to go to them. Even when we do like a traditional adoptive family for the holiday, I think every one of us in this room knows it's a nice, good thing to do to help people. Sometimes people are motivated to do it this time of year, which we're not bound by that. We can help people anytime we want and should and do. But helping them, I know when I've been doing this with the humanitarian aid for years, the whole purpose of doing any of that is to get to know them, get in their space, and, you know, feel them out, size them up for a baptismal, ultimately, I mean. And sometimes, no. People are not necessarily interested in that, and that's fine. That's fine. But it's still right to do it, whether you know, they become converted or not. Doesn't matter. But it's good to do it. It's good for us. It's good for us as individuals. So we can use the temporal blessing of showing ourselves as Christ did to this generation. He had compassion on the multitudes as he went about through their cities and villages, healing all their sicknesses and diseases, but they still wandered like sheep without a shepherd. So he told the apostles, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into that harvest, because it's ready. This world is so screwed up, I got it all ready for you. These people are open for some good news, because they ain't got no hope, they ain't got no joy, they ain't got no peace, they ain't got nothing. They're lost. and I've got you all, I got them ready for you. So he's just winding us up and sending us out. We will take advantage of every opportunity that we get to lead the people to the spiritual, eternal blessing that does not fade away, and it's reserved up there, and all they got to do is come and get their name put right on that inheritance, because he wants them all to come and doesn't want any of them to be lost. And so we see our work cut out for us. So let's get ready during these holiday times. We get these opportunities to lift up Christ to people that have never heard. Thank you for your attention this morning.